is the past, and behind is the future. Two lifetimes outstretched, the present between. In a moment of time, where the world never changes, our memories the children of what might have been. The ghosts of an old life haunt days that are coming, and the sun as it rises shines light on the past. To the west of our hope and the east of our sorrow, we exist in a day that is always our last.
Hi, could you
help?
Yeah, I'm looking for one of those
wet saws.
Right, but I noticed that one of your competitors,
Fix-It Hut.
Right, they
had it for 30% less than our everyday price.
Exactly. So I was wondering if you could maybe
match it, meet it, slash it, or beat it.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. This is a bakery.
Bakery?
Yes, sir. We can bake it, knead it, mix it, or beat it. But for flooring supplies, you'll have to try next door.
Isn't this the floor house?
No, this is the flower house. The floor house is next door.
I'm sorry, the U is burned out on your sign.
As is their O. I know, it's confusing.
I wonder why the dust on your counter was so thick and white and delicious. Sorry about this.
No trouble. Here, take a card.
Thanks.
They're baked fresh daily.
Oh. Any jelly-filled cards left?
No, just glazed.
Oh, that's fine. And a coffee for the road.
I'm sorry, sir, but until the road can get up the confidence to come in here and buy a coffee for itself...
Oh, no, no. The road. My wrestler friend here.
The road, huh? Why does he wrestle under that name?
The other wrestlers tend to hit him a lot. Hit the road. See? It's a punchline.
Not hit.
Anything else?
Yeah. What's this written in icing on the bottom of your card?
Oh, that's our slogan. You give us dough, we give you love.
Really? That's weird. The bank has the same slogan.
Well, it's very apt in both cases.
It also sounds kind of odd.
I agree.
I wonder if anyone's ever tried it the other way around.
I hope not.
Meanwhile...
Hello, I have some love, and I wondered if I could sell it to you to use in your bread.
Are you serious?
Yes, I have quite a lot.
You want to sell me your love?
Yeah, it's a new market I'm hoping to tap into.
Selling love.
You got it.
I think that various insalubrious people have pretty well capitalized on that already.
You already have a supplier? I didn't think anyone else had cornered the market yet.
I really think we're good in that department.
I brought some free samples.
No thanks.
Okay. You want to talk about price now?
Nope. Look, why don't you just leave me a card?
Okay. Sorry, it's a little moist. These pants have no pockets. And remember our slogan, we give you love, you give us dough.
You know, I really wish they'd get the front sign fixed, because it's really causing a lot of confusion.
Hey, look, some lady's walking into the floor house.
Ow!
Now she's opening the door and going in.
Hello?
Howdy, ma'am. How can I help you?
I'm going to be making a tiered cake this week for my daughter's wedding, and I need some supplies.
Sure. What do you need?
Well, I'm going to need a spatula, a bag of quick set, 3 sheets of underlayment, and some unsanded grout. Oh, what the hey, and a couple of sponges. Something like this only comes around once.
No problem. And just to let you know, we're having a sale right now on the Robio cake decorating set that comes with drill, countersink bit, maglight, and saber saw, all for only $49.95 with the purchase of any frosting trowel.
Are you kidding me? You can't use a countersink bit on a cake. It'll pull the screws right through the cream cheese and into the table. Besides, I've already got a bucket of industrial-strength meringue that should do the trick.
You could try an eighth-inch pine nails and run a bead of epoxy all around the strawberries as well.
Yeah, good idea.
You also might want to use sanded grout to give your cake more texture.
My man.
How were you planning on cutting the cake when you go to serve it?
I was thinking a wetsaw.
Well, this is your day, because we're having a sale on those as well.
Oh, fabulous.
You'll find them in aisle 12.
Aisle 12?
Aisle 12, between the muffin sanders and the marzipan guns.
Thank you. Oh, and one more thing. Could I get your card in case I need to come back for anything?
Of course. Here you go.
Thanks. Wow, this card smells really good.
A little marinade does wonders.
This one's a little pink, though. Could you leave it on the grill a bit longer?
No problem, little lady.
Seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
She packed my bags last night pre-flight. 0 hours, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then.
All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. Such a timeless flight. I think it's gonna be a long, long time. The touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as ice. And there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science I don't understand. Just my job 5 days a week. Rocket Man. Rocket Man. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. The touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Rocket Man, Rocket Man, burning at his fuse of be a long, long time. it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
The world's largest record store in the known world and universe, etc., is here in Los Angeles. It is, and it's called Tower Records. And Tower Records is located in the heart of Sunset Strip. At Tower, you'll find tens of thousands of your favorite LPs and tapes. And you'll find that they're all super discount price. Tower will always save you money on the LPs and tapes you buy. You'll find more rock LPs than you ever thought existed. And that includes more imported rock LPs, if you need that stuff. You'll find more jazz, more classics, more easy listening, more country, more international, more spoken words, and more words. More of everything than you've ever seen in your whole life in one store at one time. And you'll find thousands of 45 RPM singles. In short, the largest record store in the known world lives up to its name. Shop Tower Records in the heart of Sunset Strip tonight and every night of the year until midnight. And Tower will have my latest album, Walls and Bridges, this afternoon, so go get it!
Yikes!
Good afternoon. Is this Tower Records, the largest record store in the known universe?
You see the giant sign up front?
Well, yes. It's just I'm not very good at making conversation, and I wasn't really sure how to open.
I'll help you with something.
Yeah. Are you English?
Yes, sir. Management thought having a scouser behind the counter would be good for sales. I mean, I'm from Bromley, but...
Where's Bromley?
England, sir.
Aha. I thought so.
Anything else, sir?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm looking for something to make me laugh. Do you have any wacky records?
What you mean?
You know, funny.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, I think so. Here, try this one.
Sorry. I'm sorry, but that's not really what I'm looking for. Do you have anything that's intentionally funny?
What, you mean deliberate?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here, how about this then?
Chicken attack. Chicken attack. What you want back before it fades to black? Say my love, come, let's go take
your hold on. Wait, stop. Is that supposed to be funny?
Well, it's boring, sir. Sometimes it's hard to tell with him, isn't it?
What I'm really looking for is old-time comedy.
What, you mean like the 80s?
No. The 1920s through the 1950s. You know, the golden age of radio.
Oh, see, well. Well, how about this one, then?
Let's all sing like the birdies sing. Tweet, 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 tweet. Let's all sing like the birdies sing. Sweet, 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 sweet.
Well, that's better. But, do you have any American comedy records?
Well, I think so, sir.
You think so? This is Los Angeles. How could you not have American records?
Yeah, got one. 1951. It's a bit dirty. Well, remember this one from years ago. It was dead good. Here, have a listen.
I got a brother-in-law who's a karate expert. Joined the army. First time he saluted, he killed himself. I played a horse so slow that the jockey kept a diary of the trip. You know, I'm so nearsighted I can't even see my contact lenses.
Now, that's more like it. But, do you have anything that's a little more developed? Like a comedy routine featuring a full cast and sound effects?
Oh, well, you should have said, sir. I think I might have just what you're after. About this one.
Gasp! What is that?
Could be yours, sir. Factory wrapped, never opened, mark of fresh vinyl goodness, and smell it.
It smells funny.
Sounds even worse, sir.
Worse than the album cover? It's perfect. You see, I have this friend out west who loves bad records. Okay, I'm sold on the cheesy cover, but could the content possibly be as bad? I dare you to play it.
Cool, blimey. Oh. All right, sir, but Well, you better go listen in the sound booth for the safety of the other patrons.
All right.
There you are. Off we go then. Cool.
This is a script that I have to read. And now, Time Smith Radio and the Fromundia Broadcast System invite you to be part of a live stage recording. From Hollywood, it's Who in the World? The radio program that dares to ask, haven't I seen you somewhere? Brought to you by LifeBuoy. And now here's your host, Manuel Noriega.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. Tonight we're pleased to have with us four giants of the community theater stage, all of whom are currently appearing in the off-Broadway production of Beautiful and the Beastie. To my immediate right, Sir Earl T. Grey, one of the stage's great minimalist veterans. Next to him, his collaborator, Mr. Harry Toupet, former graduate of the Academy of Mime at Bowling Green University. Good evening. Next, Mr. Lupino Ribaldi, who plays all six wolves in the show. And finally, Professor Henry Fjord, who is redefining the art of live stage sound. Welcome to you all. Now to our first guest, Sir Earl T. Grey. You've essentially defined the character of Kip the Teacup off-Broadway. How did you prepare for your role?
Well, I tried to get inside the head of the teacup. I spent days in tea houses studying how humans interact with ceramic receptacles. What exactly was the dynamic? How does a teacup maintain a sense of professionalism with a tea drinker given the close proximity to lips? Where does a sip end and a kiss begin? How would, say, a mustache affect that relationship?
I see.
Yes, and then came the research. To get the physicality right, I developed a new set of behaviors. For instance, setting myself in a rack to dry after showering, sleeping in the cupboard, and wrapping myself in a newspaper when traveling, that sort of thing.
Now, I'm told that you lost a great deal of weight for the role.
Yes, you know, I first saw Sullivan play Kip in 1972, and I was astounded. He lost 120 pounds for the role, mostly in the form of his torso, which he had surgically removed. As luck would have it, I myself was involved in a rather bad accident, and doctors were forced to amputate my body in order to save my head.
My goodness, that must have been traumatic.
Initially, yes, doing even simple things like combing my hair became a real challenge, but it was also very liberating. And, of course, it opened the door to roles I had never considered before.
Such as?
Well, I played a football in the stage adaptation of Catch-22 3 years ago, followed by stints as the pumpkin in the stage revival of Cinderella, and a coconut in Spamalot last year. And I'm currently the head writer of Hot in Cleveland.
Still, it must be difficult to find work in your conditions.
Not really. There are plenty of headhunters looking for unique talents.
Sir Grey, you've been delicious.
You are welcome.
And now we move on to Mr. Harry Toupet, who plays the rug. Mr. Toupet, I understand that you play a hairpiece on the show.
What? No, I play a floor cover.
Oh, I beg your pardon. You have a very misleading name. Mr. Harry Toupet. How do you approach your role?
Well, I could relate to the rug as an object, as I'd also been walked on for most of my life. I wanted to be a singer, but I found my voice was too flat. I auditioned for school plays, and the roles kept getting yanked out from under me. And being a self-trained mime was invaluable since I really didn't have many lines.
I see. Now, I hear that you had an interesting audition, is that right?
Oh, yes. It's a very exciting story. I can barely contain myself. I originally auditioned for the part of the Snuggie, which I didn't get as there wasn't one in the show. But on the way off stage, I tripped, hit my head, and passed out. I somehow managed to collapse right over a nasty stain the producers had been trying to hide. And that was the moment they realized they had found their rug.
Now, how did you find the character?
Well, I began collecting lint almost immediately. I lie on the floor for hours, you get the feel of being a rug. If I ever had to go out, the first thing I'd do when I got home is take my boots off and put them on me. I've had wine spilled on me, cats vomit on me, and gangsters rolled up in me. Oh yes, I've lived the life of a rug.
Yeah, favorite scene from the show?
Most of the ones I'm not in, actually.
Please, Mr. Tippet, pull yourself together. Moving on to the appropriately hirsute Mr. Lupino Ribaldi, the wolf. Interesting role. Talk about it.
Yeah, I'd rather not. I mean, being the wolf is okay, but I was originally supposed to play the beastie. But I guess someone else must have been better connected. What are you gonna do?
So, the wolf, what of yourself were you able to put into the character?
Well, I thought this wolf could have, like, six personalities, you know? Like, one minute he's pretty calm, and then, wham! He's ready to break someone's head off. To me, he had a tough life. His pop didn't stick around. Mother didn't have time for him. So he had to learn about life on his own. But he ain't bitter. It's just like that. Sometimes, I think to myself, I haven't met my old man on the street.
So, the wolf, I understand that you are a pugilist.
What'd you call me? I ain't never played a horn in my life.
I don't know, a fighter. I'm told that you box.
Oh, yeah, well, everybody in the neighborhood fights.
Were you able to use your skills during the fight scenes?
Nah, they wouldn't let me. Thought I might kill somebody. But I hope a wolf does try to come at me someday so I can take a poke at him. What?
Speaking of vendettas, some critics have said that using a Brooklyn brogue in a French fairy tale is, quote, just plain silly.
Who said that? Did you say that? Look. They loved me when I played the Irish sheep in the Ten Commandments. Got it? Remember that. Remember that.
Thank you. Who could forget, Mr. Ribaldi? Thank you. And now our final guest, Professor Henry Fjord. You stand at the forefront of modern sound design. How did you develop your avant-garde style?
Anyone could ring the bell to create the sound of a door opening, or the crumple of a cellophane to create the sound of the fire. It's all been done to death. My method involves augmented reality to make it truly realistic by using unusual sound to create every noise. For instance, tell me what you think of it.
Professor Fjord, I don't know that that's appropriate for this particular...
There was a duck. It was a speech impediment and attempting to impersonate a cow. Now, how about this one?
I don't know what exactly that...
That was the sound of that actor, Hugh Jackman, cracking his neck before slowly extruding those anti-ebony claws while wearing a pair of rubber gloves. Now, what about this sound?
That sounds like a rather challenged chickadee to me.
No. That was the sound of Amanda Seyfried singing Come to Me from Les Miserables while scuba diving.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you could see the unorthodox objects he's using to create these sounds. It's just indescribable. Say, by the way, Professor, that's a very interesting accent you've got. Are you Italian?
No, my mother was Russian.
Oh, and what about your father? Was he also Russian?
No, my father was never in particular hurry.
Professor Fjord, what's next for you?
Next month I'll be creating a new series of sound effects on the stage adaptations of three classical plays by Edgar Allan Poe. The Smell of the House of Usher, The Odors in the Rue Morgue, and of course, A Telltale Fart.
That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it should be a real gas. Excuse me.
Professor Fjord, you are out of your league.
Well, thank you.
And thank you all for coming. And now perhaps you could recreate a scene from the show for us. Very well, then. Please take your places and go. I'm not sure how this is coming across on radio, ladies and gentlemen, but it's an astounding act. I suggest that you see the show. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. Be sure to join us next time on Who in the World, when we'll interview the sweaty T-shirt from A Streetcar Named Desire, the woman's stocking from Death of Salesman, and the horribly traumatized litter box from Cats. This has been a presentation of the Famundia Broadcast System, committed to the proposition that the greatest television set is in your mind. Good night, everybody.
Call that comedy? Shoot. Easy, Virgil. Hey. Tell you what, how about I play a little something on the guitar? How's that?
Try to run away, thought you could find me. Darling, it's cold outside. Stand beneath the drops outside my window. Baby, that's no way to hide. Roads of golden leaf, roads of broken you. They don't know you, they can't show you. Don't they know your sad confusion can't confine me? Darling, I'm free to roam. Wipe the dust off these two broken memories. Sweet home, roads of broken me, roads of golden you. Lift your head and shine your light down any avenue. They don't know you, they can't show you. Don't they know?
Sunbeam in the morning, write my name in the dust that sets a dying. Now that you sent me along, dear, 'cause my love's been with you all this time. Because my love's been with you all this time. Because my love's been with you all this time.
Good evening.
Jawohl, mein Herr.
Are your trousers back from the cleaners?
No, but my library books are overdue.
Were you followed?
No.
Do you have the item?
Yes, but Gunther twisted his ankle and we...
Don't lose your nerve. Pull yourself together. The authorities, run!
Run!
what expressionist art does is reject an objective view of the world and instead present it solely from a subjective point of view, distorting reality to create an emotional response, twisting the world around you to evoke a given mood or idea. Physical reality means nothing to the expressionist artist. All that matters is the emotional experience. And so the interplay between light and darkness was a natural medium through which the expressionists could express themselves, so to speak.
That was the voice of Ryan Nicklow by Electrical Transcription, taken from Episode 7 of Abnormal State Theater, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. And now it's on to New York City, on the west side of Lower Manhattan, the Bohemian capital, Greenwich Village. It's 1963, and a local beatnik bar is hosting a poetry slam. Sounds rather fun, don't you think? Why don't we go and have a look, shall we? Come along. Same to you, buddy. I'm afraid it's a bit out of the way, but then most of the popular places around here are. Ah, here we are. Just down this flight of steps. Oh, do be careful. Watch your step. Here it is. You are going to love a coffee here, my friend. Just seat ourselves.
I had an uncle with an Ivy League heart. He had life with a belt in the back. Turn on to a thousand joys. Smile on what happened or check what's going to happen. You'll miss what's happening. Turn your eyes inside and dig the vacuum. Tamara Drag.
Right arm. A slice of the king's jive to inject into reality. Now I want all of you cats and chicks to tummy up and glue your orbs to this next cat.
Was brillig, and the slithy tails did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outcrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the manxome foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought.
Hatter! Oh, Hatter!
It's Alice. Perhaps if we're all very quiet, she'll go away.
Hello!
Or not. One thing I should tell you. She's a lunatic. I'm afraid she believes that she is the Queen of England. Mm-hmm. And so when she arrives, make sure you all applaud politely.
Over here!
Ah, there you are!
No, here I am.
Oh, now I see you. A very merry un-Monday to you.
And a happy non-October to you, Your Majesty.
My goodness, are these friends of yours?
I was just trying to ingratiate myself with these young bohemians by reciting a poem, so if you please.
Oh, splendid! You know, I know a poem.
Do you?
Indeed. It's called How Doth the Little Crocodile. Ahem. How doth the little crocodile improve its shining tail and pour the waters of the Nile on every golden scale?
I'm hit, Chicky.
Well, it's no Jabberwocky, but still a sturdy little thing nonetheless.
Thank you, I think. I say, do you mind if I bum a cup of tea?
Did you just say bum?
Well, my mouth said it, though my brain may or may not have been involved.
What does your bum have to do with my tea?
It's a bohemian expression. I simply need my fix.
Oh, fine. I'll loan you a bag, but only after I complete Jabberwocky. So, please, step off. Now, where was I? Yes. And as he stood in uffish thought, the Jabberwock, with eyes aflame, came whiffling through the tulgey wood and burbled as it came.
Was that you?
It was.
Brilliant.
Thank you. One, two, and through the vorpal blade went Snicker Snack.
Oh, Snickers do make excellent snacks.
Yes. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy.
Did you forget the rest?
Well, no, it's just that I was supposed to have been interrupted just then.
Oh, that must be vexing.
You know, usually I don't like interruptions, but when one is expecting one and it doesn't come, it can be rather irksome.
It's ironic.
I know.
Who was supposed to interrupt you?
The hare.
It seems he's rather missed his cue.
Frequently misses his peas as well. I'll try again. Come to my arms, my beamish boy! Oh, scuttlebutt. Hare! You were supposed to interrupt me just then. Miss your cue again and I'll... Wait, who are you? Where's Piggleton?
He's sick. The temp agent seems to send me over.
Oh, this is going to muddle things.
My tea's gone cold.
This is stupid. What am I supposed to be anyways?
You're an heir.
I've come into some money?
No, not an heir, an hare.
What's wrong with my hair?
No, hare. It's like a rabbit.
Yes, like a rabbit, but not. You're mad. You're the March Hare.
Why am I mad about March?
Well, maybe it's because you have March Madness.
For the win!
Yeah, well, I do have that.
Oh, really? Oh, I say, do have a cup of tea.
Oh, do?
Call me mother.
Get away from me. I ain't your mom.
No, he means you're poor.
I'm not poor. I just like secondhand sweaters.
No, she means cream.
I am gonna scream if I don't get out of here. You're crazy. I'm leaving.
Oh, but you mustn't.
Yes, you must read this poem first.
Why?
Well, because it's in the script.
I ain't gonna read this.
You will, or I will see to it that your temporary employment becomes permanent.
Wait, what?
Besides, you're under a contractual obligation.
I didn't sign nothing.
That's just it. If you didn't sign nothing, then you obviously signed something.
Wait, what?
Now, where is said script? Must be in one of these pockets.
Hi, I'm Bill.
How do you do? I'm Alice.
Wow, you make that tiara look good.
Thank you. I was just queened yesterday.
But where can a guy get kinged around here?
Look, do you mind, sir? Aha! Here it is. Now, all you have to do is read this.
Then I can go?
The sooner the better, yes.
All right. The poodle's a slimy, carnivorous beast. In pastures you might find it grazing. Its fangs measure 23 inches at least. Its antlers are simply amazing. Sometimes it will bury its head in the sand. It's our main source of pork, ham, and bacon. Then again, on the other hand, I could be completely mistaken.
Ladies and gentlemen, the March Hare!
Squaresville, Pops. Squaresville.
Of all the stupid jobs they could have sent me to do.
The March Hare. Stark raving mad. Or at least very angry.
Cute little person. He reminds me of my cat.
You know, I've always disliked your cat. Now, please stand at a minimum safe distance as I finish Jabberwocky in character. Ooh. Oh, frabjous day, kaloo kalay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig and the slithy toves.
Are you starting over?
No, baby, the end is the beginning, dig.
Oh.
Did gyre and gimble in the wabe, or mimsy were the borogoves and the mome raths outgrabe. Thank you.
Drag man. King size drag.
Get off the stage, man.
Look at my giant pocket watch. Yes, we're late for a very important engagement.
The time has come!
Oh, be tricks, woman, before we lose our heads! Oh, forget the teacups.
Slacking up or slackish, scrum!
Wow, man. Fortunately, this next cat knows his groceries. Step on up and spin us some truth, Daddy.
A squid eating dough in a polyethylene bag is fast and bulbous. Got me?
If we hurry, we can still make it back in time for the Edgar Allan Show. The piping hot